Welcome to Let's Talk Learning Disabilities with Lori Peterson and Abby Weinstein. Lori and Abby spend their days talking about dyslexia, dysgraphia, dyscalculia, and ADHD. They talk to parents of struggling students and adults who have had a lifetime of academic challenges. They want to share those stories along with their own insights with you. So, let's talk learning disabilities.
Hey everybody, this is Lori.
And this is Abby.
And welcome to Let's Talk Learning Disabilities, episode number 38. We have a very special guest today. Today, DJ Therrington is with us, and he is going to share his story about his life with dyslexia, some of his struggles, not only as a child, but well into adulthood. So, hi, DJ. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for inviting me.
Absolutely.
Glad to be here.
So, you're our second guest with a nickname with initials, by the way, because we had SJ on.
SJ, right? Now we got DJ.
Maybe that's the thing. Maybe we need to find our own. Like, I'll be LP.
Right. And I'm AW.
Anyway. All right. So, DJ, tell us about dyslexia. When were you first diagnosed?
I'm going to say probably back in 84, 85 in Germany, around seven years old.
Wow. Do you remember when you were diagnosed?
I remember going to like this class and the lady showing boxes and read this and read that. So I remember just the process, but nobody really explained what was going on. Mm-hmm. And then immediately I remember going into special classes and things of that nature. I was diagnosed in Germany, Department of Defense School. So, which I think their funding's a little different. So they have, they're going to be up to speed with all the latest and greatest. Mm-hmm. So I remember being tested and then like the day after going to like special classes. Nobody really explained what was going on, but now as an adult, I know what happened.
Okay. So what kind of special help? Do you remember what kind of special help you got? Like special programs?
And this is going way back into the ancient days here. I remember having a special ed teacher. It was called ADA or something. I don't know the abbreviation, but it was something weird. And I would go into a room with the special ed teacher. She would pull us out of class, and she would go over like the math and the reading and just basically kind of more one-on-one help. Mm-hmm. I remember maybe being three or four kids in the room.
Oh, nice.
And then they would take us and take us back to the homeroom. And then we would, you know, like for science and for art. Mm-hmm. But for like reading and math, I remember going to the special ed class.
Had you started like kindergarten in Germany?
So, no, I started kindergarten in Colorado, at Giberson Elementary. And I do remember, now that you say that, also being in special ed classes. But I had been tested prior to that because we went to Germany first. Then got tested in Germany, special ed classes. Then we came back to Colorado in Giberson. I remember special ed classes there. And then we went back to Germany. I was in special ed classes again. So special ed was kind of throughout.
You'd already kind of like that.
You were struggling even as young as a kindergarten student.
Yeah.
Did you struggle like learning the names of the letters and the sounds of the letters? Do you remember that far back?
I remember back in the day, everybody was just saying your reading level is at a certain spot. Like I remember being in the fourth grade, they was telling my mom, oh, he's at a second grade reading level. Mm-hmm. Everybody was always talking about the reading level.
The reading level. Yeah. Below grade level.
Yeah, below grade level. But nobody said the word, nobody used the terminology dyslexia. Mm-hmm. It was always special aid and the reading level.
Okay.
Okay, so how long then were you in Germany for?
Ooh, total years, about 8 years total.
So what grade was it when you finally left Germany?
We left Germany back in 92 when we were doing the huge exodus. And I'm going to say seventh grade was when we left Germany.
So when you came and you came back to the States, where did you guys move to?
We moved to Lowell, Oklahoma.
Okay. So tell us then, because this is kind of interesting. So you received all this support from basically kindergarten to seventh grade.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happened when you came back to the States?
When we got back to the States, my mom was like, let's pull him out of that. And just put them back into the regular school system. In Germany, I did have issues with kids kind of picking on me and things of that nature. Got to some fights. I think she was trying to get in front of some of that. Mm-hmm. So she said, hey, he doesn't need it. We'll just work off him independently or whatever. And then I didn't know that conversation was had until after the fact. Sure. So then I didn't get the assistance I got prior to. It worked at first. It was working because going back and forth from Germany to the United States, we always ran into this situation where sometimes I would be ahead of the kids and sometimes I'd be behind the kids. So when we got into Oklahoma, I actually was ahead of the kids. Mm-hmm. So there was times where I was actually showing the teacher, oh, I remember this, but eventually that kind of digressed and it kind of caught up, and then this way you just boom, it just, yeah,
you hit a wall.
I hit a wall.
So then did you reach out for any support, or you just kind of struggled through?
I struggled, especially in reading. Math was okay a little bit. I was always able to kind of work through the math piece of it, but anything reading related and just writing and things of that nature, it was difficult. And not knowing what was going on. I mean, there was times where I just thought, I'm like, okay, am I illiterate? I mean, I literally questioned it at times because nobody explained what was going on.
So how did you finally graduate?
Oh, God, it was a struggle. It was a struggle. My parents, you know, very conservative religious background. So they were just kind of like boom, 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 very strict. So my parents did work with me a lot, but it was a struggle. I would say I graduated with a 2.3 GPA. I mean, I was in band. I was a drum major. I was president of the president of all these student organizations, student leaders. So I had all those attributes. But it was just, I struggled and everything else. I remember when I was actually running to be drum major, I was actually failing in an English class and was not able to try out. My mom got real upset and she got in front of me. They let me try out, but they still didn't let me do it that first time because my GPA was just so bad. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that GPA was always a struggle and prevented me from participating in those other activities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So all throughout the rest of your schooling, until you graduated high school, you didn't have any special education support, no classroom accommodations. None. Even when you were struggling tremendously with your grades, you just struggled.
Yeah.
And your mom didn't want you to have that special support.
She didn't have special support. And then now that I think about it, I remember one of the teachers saying, we were doing the Shakespeare. You had to read the Shakespeare, whatever, Romeo and Juliet. And I always used to hate when you have to read out loud. And I would always kind of like, when there's a circle, I'm always kind of like flipping and trying to practice the words. So
trying to figure out which part you would be yours to read.
And you're practicing so much that you're not paying attention to what's going on. And I remember the teacher, oh, we had such poor readers in this class. Da 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 da. And I would always come up with, oh, go to the restroom. Or my eyes hurt or something, just to prevent me from having to be
read out loud.
You were resourceful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you deal with it for so long, you adapt. This was a way of life for me. So I was like, okay, let me figure out how to adapt to this. So I was committed. I mean, even to this day, some friends, they'll be shocked. They have, you know, because I think my IQ is above IQ. I'm an intelligent person. And I think a lot of people that know me personally would be surprised that I suffered from dyslexia. Mm-hmm. Because you just become this, as an adult, let me just put up this so I'm not ridiculed or picked at or whatever. So, yeah.
You learn how to hide it.
Yeah. And you've probably also learned a lot of good compensatory strategies to kind of overcome
clearly,
it.
Yeah.
Okay, so then, did you want to go to college after you graduated? After having all that struggle, were you really that fired up about college?
Actually, yeah, because like I said, I've always felt like, okay, I want to progress. I remember going to the library and looking at books on, you know, being a engineer for a computer information officer. I remember looking at those occupational books. Mm-hmm. And just trying to figure out what the next step was. What do I want to do? What do I want to do next? So college was something I wanted to do. Now, when I applied for college, because I remember coming up in very conservative background, I remember applying for Oral Roberts University in Tulsa. Because I was also an ordained minister at 14.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So,
yeah.
That's pretty cool.
So, and that was a struggle too, reading the Bible with dyslexia. I mean, it was a struggle. And that's before we had the talking Bibles and stuff like that. So I remember buying this Bible from Bedale Bookstore. And it was that little bitty red one that they read out loud. It was like $300 back then. And that was a lot of money back then.
Yeah, that was a lot.
But I needed it. So I didn't want anybody to know that I was struggling. And even reading scripture and stuff at church, I would practice, 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 practice. practice to make sure that I wasn't struggling in front of the congregation with reading scripture.
Wow.
That's amazing. So then you were confident enough to get up in front of the congregation and read?
It was different because I was comfortable. Mm-hmm. And then with preaching, you're able to ad-lib and just kind of play on the people's emotions. Right. And it's almost like an act. Mm-hmm. So it was easier for me to adapt into that situation. But when it hit me, it's like, so I want to go to Oral Roberts. I went up there to the Oral Roberts day and we did the, you know, stayed up there and all that stuff. And it was like, okay, I'm going to Oral Roberts. Put my application in, passed through all these recommendations, turned down, rejected because GPA. Of my GPA and SAT scores. I think on the ACT, I got a 17 on the ACT. So I was rejected there. Mom hit a brick. She was like, oh God, what's going on? So then Midwestern State University in Wichita Falls had a program where if you tested certain levels, they put you in like some remedial classes that you didn't get college credit for, but so like math and English and things of that nature. And so I went to Midwestern State University for about 2 years, struggled. I think I was like a 1.9 or something there. And then I was like, you know what? I'm spending a whole lot of money here, and I was looking for help. I just didn't know. At the time, the internet was not as full of resources that it is today, and I ended up going into the military.
Really?
Yeah, I ended up going into the Navy because I was taking on all this debt and just didn't know what was going on. So I ended up being a dental tech in the Navy. Struggled as a dental tech. Struggled in the school. Almost got kicked out of the school because I couldn't. You know, I was smart enough to retain the information, but just the testing piece of it,
couldn't
read well.
So how long did you stay in the Navy?
I was in the Navy for a year and a half.
Okay.
I was a victim of sexual assault in the Navy. So I ended up getting out. It was honorable and all that good stuff. So yeah, it was a tough time.
Yeah. All right. So you got out of the Navy.
Yep.
You're home.
Yep.
Going to try school again.
So in the Navy, doing the same thing. Okay, what school can I go to that's going to take my GPA? I'm researching. And I ended up on Monroe, Louisiana. That was the only school that was going to take me with what I had. So left the Navy, went to North Carolina for a little bit, and enrolled in Monroe, University of Louisiana, Monroe. Was there for about 2 years. Horrible. Same thing.
Struggled.
Then left there, went to Langston University, struggled.
Were you hoping that by going to the different schools, there might be a different, like just a fresh outlook? Like, or was it just, you wanted to go somewhere. You figured maybe eventually you'd hit that place that would be able to meet your needs, or?
I think what it was is still at this point, I still didn't realize exactly what I was dealing with. And I had just this determination that I was going to be this.
That's what I was thinking, is that you were so determined to get college that you were going to keep finding a place that you could be successful.
Yeah.
But at that point, you didn't really know you had a condition called dyslexia.
Mm-hmm.
You knew you struggled reading and writing. But you didn't know you had dyslexia, so therefore you didn't know that there were services and supports available to help you in college.
Absolutely.
Right?
If I would have knew back then, I'd probably be a U.S. Circuit judge right now or something. I mean, and literally, I would look at people and compare myself to them. It's like, what's different between me and them?
Mm-hmm.
And then the reading got so bad that I was just like, I questioned my literacy.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, what is going on? And went through just severe depression and just
because
you don't want to tell your friends, hey, I have a problem reading.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so when did the light bulb go off? When did you realize there was support out there for you?
So when I left school, got out of school for a little bit, went back into corporate America. I've been in financial sales for a while. Went to Bellevue University, and I was somewhere, dyslexia popped up. The school had obvious accommodation things, and dyslexia popped up. And I reached out to the school. Well, have you been diagnosed as dyslexia? I said, well, I think back in Germany I was, blah, 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 blah. And then I start trying to do all the research and try to go back and find information from Germany. I mean, I reached out to the Department of DOD schools and sent emails. And I finally found somebody to send a letter saying, yeah, he was in special, whatever. And they accepted that.
Oh, wow.
So I got extra time on tests. I use a system. They sent me this software called Dragon.
Dragon Dictation.
Yeah. World difference. I had the microphone and I would just speak because, you know, my vocabulary was fine. Mm-hmm. And I would talk my papers out, then go back and edit it and things like that. It just was a world of difference. And it was just, awesome. Yeah, that's when it clicked. Matter of fact, when I was at Bellevue University, legal studies with contracts and law and all this other
stuff.
That's
a lot of reading.
My GPA went to a 3.5.
Wow.
And I actually got the dean's list a couple times at Bellevue University.
Good for you. Yeah. That's
all
awesome.
Thanks to the accommodations.
To the accommodations. Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. So, because I'm 43 years old now, I think over the past, maybe within the last 10 years, it's becoming a little bit more, and maybe because it's technology or whatnot, as far as people are more up to speed on, you know, the accommodations actually exist. Because when I was in school, we didn't, you know, Facebook was new.
Right, absolutely.
So we didn't know there was even any accommodations available. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay, so then you graduated, and what happened next?
Graduated, went to
this is such a great story.
Went to work corporate America, same thing. I would hate when we would go to those kind of conventions and things of that nature, and they'll put you in a room with everybody. Okay, it's your turn to read. Okay, you read, and you read. I'm always in the back. And me being who I am, everybody's, okay, DJ, I'm the comic relief of the company. Everybody likes me. So naturally, everybody wants to call on the person that they know in the room. So I'm always the one getting called. So I always go and, you know, leave. And I never forget. One time I went to the CVS. We had a national sales convention in Dallas. I went to the CVS and I bought an eye patch. And I put the eye patch on.
No way.
So that they would think that I had an eye issue so that nobody would call
they
me to read.
They wouldn't call on you to read. Yeah. Wow.
Again,
really, really resourceful. Yeah.
I know. Wow. Yeah.
Would not call me to read. So then I, you know, just got to a point you get tired of it. So then I remember talking to one of my my bosses. He was real cool. I said, hey, man, I have dyslexia. You know, don't call me to read. He's like, you know, I'm cool. And he's like, okay, I won't do it. But then he would call me to read. So I'm just like, yeah. So, yeah, it was a struggle. Then I decided I wanted to, you know, want to do something different. And I wanted to go to law school. And I had took the LSAT before. And I got a 132, which is basically you put your name on a piece of paper and that was it.
And that's what you get.
Yeah. And this was after I spent probably about $3,000 on one-on-one tutoring.
Oh, wow.
And of course, the guy didn't pick up on it. He just wanted to get his check.
Right.
And I was reading about accommodations and things of that nature. And the LSAT is very difficult to get any accommodations. So I was doing Google and I actually ran into you guys, the Diagnostic Learning Services. And honestly, truth be told, I had no expectations because I saw just how hard it was to get accommodations. I saw all these horror stories about accommodations. Did the testing with Lori. Yes, you are dyslexic. That was also very like, okay, wow, I can put a name to it.
Mm-hmm. You know, proof.
I have proof.
Proof, right.
They gave me accommodations and my score went up 17 points.
Wow. That's
fabulous.
Yeah,
I'm up 17 points. Yeah.
Awesome. So you submitted your evaluation report from us along with your application to request accommodations. Yeah. And were you granted eligibility for all of the accommodations?
Immediately. So awesome. Like the LSAT has four different sections and they're 25 minutes each. I was awarded 56 minutes in each section.
Nice.
So, you know, and then also for the reading, a reading device. So basically they gave me a flash drive, put my flash drive in the computer. And the computer would read the passages to me. Groundbreaking.
Amazing.
Yeah, groundbreaking.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so?
So?
Then?
Took the LSAT. COVID hit. Boom. So just wasn't the time. Then took over that new position at my job. When I left, I was in the field prior to this new position. I was a sales rep and I managed a certain territory. So it was more face-to-face interaction. So I didn't have to read or answer emails, things of that nature like that. Because of my performance in that position, they moved me to this other position where I was managing people and I was compliance and auditing, go figure. So I remember getting emails from people, check your spelling, do this, do that. Oh, and it was almost like a picking. So I was like, okay, I'll fix you. I submitted my accommodations, you know, for dyslexia, you know, for
workplace.
For accommodations. I never forget. So I submitted it in August.
Really quick though, which accommodation, what were you asking for?
I was asking for sometimes the text-to-speech software, mm-hmm. because the corporate computer, you can't do anything to it without it locking up.
Right.
And just extra time as far as to answer emails. And I think even I was reading just kind of basic accommodations for work, and it said just, you know, notes and things of that nature. Didn't even really need that. It was more so just the software to be able to make sure that I was communicating effectively and things mm-hmm. of that nature. Submitted that. Through our, there was a third party, almost like for your FMLA and all that stuff. You submit to the third party. It's like, yeah, cool. They sat on it. The job sat on it for about 2 months.
Wow.
And I consistently hit them back, hey. And then the last time I reached out to them, said, hey, what's going on? The third party company escalated and said, yeah, they're just sitting on it. We don't know what's going on. The next day I was terminated.
No way.
Yeah, next day I was terminated.
What was the reason for termination?
Oh, we eliminated your position. I was the only person in the United States that worked in my role in compliance and auditing, had three different departments, and you eliminated my position. There was no way possible. And I told him on the phone, I said, gentlemen, I find your timing to be somewhat concerning, mm-hmm. being that I just submitted my ADA accommodations to you. Well, we didn't understand exactly what you were asking for. I said, but you
sounds pretty confusing.
I said, but you didn't reach out to me.
Exactly.
You didn't reach out to the third party. You didn't do any of that. Well, and one guy got off the phone. Well, I'm gonna let you do it with HR. He hung up the phone, and then HR was like, "Well, we're gonna give you this." So I said, "Nope." I told him, "I'm coming for you." Got an attorney, and we ended up settling.
Really?
Yeah, between
settling outside of court.
Yeah, settling outside of court.
Yeah, so you were suing them for wrongful termination because
dyslexia is actually protected under the Americans with Disability Act.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I was asking for reasonable accommodations. I made sure of that because I made sure I Googled and all that good stuff mm-hmm. to make sure that I wasn't asking for anything that was outside of the norm. And like I said, I had the documentation and all that stuff. And like I said, and prior to that, you know, I had been, you know, a Circle of Excellence winner. I had got all these high evals and things of that nature, you know, had a very successful career. But then when I had to work up, you know, up personal, personal, you know, whatever, it was a whole different situation. They did not want to deal with it.
You would think in today's society, right? Like yeah. that I can't believe that happens.
I can't believe that happens.
Yeah.
And I can't believe that they would be so ignorant to accommodations and to people with dyslexia and be confused by your requests. First of all, and not reach out to you and say, can we get clarification or why exactly do you need this yeah. if they weren't sure? And then it seems like it's so common that people are getting workplace accommodations mm-hmm. now, especially in big corporate America companies,
yeah.
which you were
this
with
was,
a big company,
this was a big
right?
company, but I think when you start talking about Americans with Disability Act, people are automatically assuming that it has to do so with
a physical
right, like the ramp or
yeah,
the, yeah.
which you can see, yeah. Uh-huh. And when I submitted that, I think maybe they didn't take it seriously or thought I was playing or whatever. They had no problem picking at my dictation spellings and things mm-hmm. like that. And I remember telling one young lady who wasn't like four levels down from me, hey, I'm dyslexic. You know, could you knock it off?
Right.
Throw me a bone.
Yeah, could you knock it off? Well, just not even through that. Just stop. You know, that's unprofessional to sit there and to badger somebody.
Mm-hmm. Pick apart my
yeah,
email.
Yeah, an email. So I had all the evidence, and I remember sending it to the attorney, and she was like,
slam dunk.
Are you serious? Are you serious? And typically, when you do anything litigation, it takes years on years. This was like 45 days.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you had the evidence that you had not only been fired, mm-hmm. you had been critiqued and criticized.
Absolutely.
And were a stellar employee.
A stellar yeah. employee with a great track record.
And then they couldn't, you know, say anything as far as that you didn't submit it properly because it was a third party company, but you mm-hmm. submit all your, that handled all of the accommodation stuff. And I would reach out to them. And I'd never, this is the key part. When the day they fired me, or we're laying you off, we're eliminating your position. The next day, the people from the accommodations called me and said, hey, we still haven't heard back from them yet. We're reaching out. And I didn't say anything. I was like, okay, whatever. And 2 weeks later,
they awarded me the accommodations.
They did?
The third party.
The third party.
Yeah, well, the third party works with the workplace. Okay. So the workplace is like, so they said yes to all the accommodations that we were just trying to cover themselves.
Sure.
But this had been, he submitted this back in September. Mm-hmm. Why not after you terminate him, now he's awarded all these accommodations.
Now he's allowed to have these accommodations.
After you realized.
Yeah, the attorney was like, It was.
Wow.
Yeah. So you sought out an attorney. What type of attorney was it that you
workplace? And that was another thing. It was difficult finding an attorney that understood what it was, because you know attorneys are dime a dozen, and you have to find somebody that understands the law, understands ADA. Under ADA and all that. And I found a lady out of Houston, and she understood. She's like, "Oh no. Yeah.
Okay. So now that you are retired.
Yep.
Which plan?
School.
You gonna do law school?
I'm gonna go to law school. My friends are like, "Man, you've done okay for yourself. You know, why you want to reinvent the wheel?" And it's just that, you know, I've struggled. I had a difficult time, and you just kind of want to give back, because my story is not everybody's story. I have, you know, I do a lot of, you know, reading and documentaries, and I see so many people who are caught up in the criminal justice system because of dyslexia, not understanding, and I want to give back.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah. That's awesome. We've actually talked about that before. I do really feel like there's a lot of people that are in that system right now that have a variety of disabilities that are not physical, but have probably led to their
legal issues, right?
ADHD being a big one, but just even all the struggles you've had through school. If you had not had a supportive family, you know, and if you had not had such an amazing work ethic, there's a lot of other places you could have ended up, right?
Because you just get so frustrated, you give up, you think you can't do it.
And I think you're exactly right. I think a lot of those kids, that's where they end up.
Yeah, and there was times where I just got to a point, I just got so frustrated, and I was just like, I'm over it.
Yeah.
You know, and there was opportunities to do things that would have ended up in the criminal justice system. Sure. Like, you know what? I can beat this.
Did you ever think about dropping out of school?
No.
No?
No, I've had this, like, I had this willpower that you're not better than me.
I'll show you.
Yeah, I'll show you. The only difference between me, and I tell people, because people ask me all the time, you always got a good job, you always do this and this, how you, I said, the difference between somebody that's successful and somebody like you is that they chose to do it. There is no other opportunities there between you, like a millionaire, whoever. They saw an idea, and they did whatever they had to do to get the idea accomplished. Mm-hmm. And that's been my philosophy in life, is just, if you see it, do it. You know, and you're going to fall down. I'll fall down. I mean, I'm 43 years old, about to go to law school. It should have happened 10 years ago. I even struggled with that. I was like, you know what?
Driven.
You got to be.
Yeah.
Because my neighbor, she's a general counsel for Pizza Hut. She's my next door neighbor. And she's like, I was like, am I too old for law school? Do I want to be in law school and competing with these 20-somethings and da-da-da-da-da? And she's like, no, you bring a different piece that law schools would love to hear. Absolutely. Into the class app. And I'm noticing, because my GPA still suffered because of some of those lower things. So my GPA overall when I graduated, undergrad, was a 2.8 because of all those other. Mm-hmm. So I don't have the GPA standards as most law schools like. But because of just the other soft variables and things of that nature, that makes a complete class. So, yeah.
Right. You're bringing some real life experiences to the table as well.
So are you thinking that you're going to want to go more criminal law, or are you looking at more ADA kind of things?
I'm more nonprofit ADA. Because like I said, I'm the bully's bully. And I just see there's an opportunity, and it's just as I'm looking, because I was looking for myself, there's not a lot out there. Mm-hmm. And then you have a lot of people who are focused on handicap, and I see a lot of FMLA for pregnancy, and there's not a lot of things out there for adults. So I remember even before I reached out to you, I remember even going to a counselor prior to reaching to you, and I saw the guy, and I said, hey, I want to go to law school, but I'm having trouble reading. And this guy was like, so what else are you good at? And I thought about it, I was like, so he was literally trying to talk me out of going to law school.
Yeah.
And this was a professional. And I was just like, huh? And reached out to another one. So what else are you good at? And I was like, wow. So there's not, as an adult, there are not, dyslexia, when you look at research and things that's for help, you see a lot of things geared towards children, but you don't see a lot of things geared towards an adult.
You are exactly right.
So it's been a challenge.
Unfortunate.
Yeah.
So good for you. So you're going to give back to adults with learning disabilities like dyslexia and help them get the resources and supports they need.
Yeah, when I'm not in the Tahiti or whatever, thanks to my last employer, but yeah.
Okay, so thinking about all the other adults that are out there struggling with, you know, they're in their workplace, they're struggling every day because of either they already know they have a learning disability or maybe an undiagnosed learning disability, what advice would you give them?
First, come to terms with what you're dealing with. I think a lot of times we try, because we're frustrated, we try to, that's not me. Mm-hmm. Just like alcohol, mm-hmm. you have to realize that you have a problem first. And I think that's the first step. Hey, I have a problem, that's me. Once you realize you have that problem, then just, you know, get, you know, you have Dialogic Learning Center, find someone that you got to get tested. So then when you get with a testing center, those people can help you, you know, find the resources you need to get you the accommodations. And then ask for the accommodations. They're there for a reason. You can't beat it on your own. And I think if I would have realized that 10, 15 years ago, I'm like, where would I be today if I didn't try to beat it on my own? Because I was like, I'm better than this. I'm going to beat this, da, da, da. It's chemically, it's, you know, I don't know the schematics of the medical terminology for it, but it's real. It's a, you know, it's a real handicap.
Yeah.
So just really, you know, number one, identifying that you have it, getting support, and just, you know, deciding that it's not going to beat you, and ask for accommodations.
Yeah. A lot of people are scared to ask for accommodations. I mean, look what happened to you. Obviously it all worked out, but people are scared. They're scared. They're going to look, someone's going to treat them different. They're going to be demoted.
Yeah.
So it is scary, but at the end of the day, those accommodations are offered and they're out there for a reason.
For a reason.
And
absolutely.
Businesses are legally
to them. Yeah. Legally entitled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. That's good advice. I like that.
You have a great story. I'm so excited because you have got an amazing future. Like, I can't wait to hear about the people you help and the differences you're going to make.
I feel the same way. I can't wait to hear about your success stories. And I want to reach out to you when you graduate law school.
This is going to be, this is definitely going to be a long relationship. Like I said, because if it hadn't been for you writing those, you know, letters and doing the testing, it would not have been an option. There's been no way.
Oh, I love it. I love it. That makes me feel so good. I get goosebumps.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you so much for sharing your story and for giving such great insight to our listeners and advice to other adults living with learning disabilities, especially dyslexia. There are resources. There's accommodations that are available. And I think it's great that you knew you were entitled to that and you fought the system and you fought for it. You advocated for your own needs, which is something that we talk a lot about. Even starting at an early age, it's important to make sure individuals with disabilities know what their disability is, know what strengths come from it, what weaknesses come from it, and how to advocate for their needs.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you.
We really appreciate you being here. I know it's been a long journey, but man, it's paying off.
It is paying off.
Well, we got 3 more years of more, but I'm going to do it.
You're going to do it.
Good for you.
Starting in August, right?
Yeah, starting in August. Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll keep everybody updated on your journey too, because now I think you've got a whole bunch more people invested. So
we'll keep you guys updated on DJ's success story.
We'll all be at your graduation from law school.
Oh, God, yes.
Party hats. Well, thanks, everybody, for being here today. If you guys have any questions or suggestions about future episodes, don't hesitate to email us at letstalklearningdisabilities@gmail.com. We also have a really cool new website coming pretty soon that's going to be all about our podcast and have all of our episodes and some really cool information as well. So we'll be announcing that in future episodes. So have a great day, everybody. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us today. In our show notes, you can find information about today's talk, as well as links to resources and other episodes. If you have questions about today's talk, have ideas for future episodes, or just want to stay connected, you can contact us through Diagnostic Learning Services on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram. So, let's keep talking learning disabilities. This podcast is sponsored by eDiagnostic Learning. You can find more information at www.ediagnosticlearning.com.